talk about the Gambia. And Adama has a presentation, and then we'll be open to the floor for questions. So, PT, you have 8 minutes.
Harold, thank you very much. Can everybody hear me all right? Can you hear me? Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, look, what I want to talk about very briefly is the relationship between investing in tourism plant, hotels, lodges, camps, and so forth, but also the value of investing in people and investing in tourism products, goods and services down the value chains in order to make better places for those people to live who live in and around areas of tourism activity, and also making better places for people to visit, i.e. tourists, and the relationship, the economic relationship between the two. And investing down the value chains supplies things like fruits, vegetables that you would eat on your safari or in your hotel room or whatever the case might be. And investing in people who deliver those goods and services is equally as important. And the continent of Africa is full of wonderful good news stories. It's also full of some disasters that have gone on in the past. Because the problem about investing in people for the long-term future is that the thing that escapes most people's minds is that investing in people also requires maintenance. It requires ongoing connections with those people. Just as a camp or a lodge or a hotel requires ongoing maintenance programs, so do there need to be long-term sustainability issues related to investing in the people in whom you've invested in the first place who are delivering those goods and services. So we need to think about creating positive impact and not just in the short term. This needs to be for the long term in order that people who are doing the investment, who are creating the leveraging and creating the ball to be starting rolling, can exit at some point, leaving behind those other people and the maintenance programs in order to continue to deliver those right goods and the right services. The whole idea behind this is to deliver the visitor experience in such a way that they then deliver through word of mouth positive experience and thereby creating further and further and further positive impact on tourism volume. So if we generate positive word of mouth, that means that's more business for them and more business for tourists and more business for any of you, tour operators or travel agents in the business. So in Bwindi National Park, there was a problem, there was a disconnect between the amount of money being generated by the activities of tourists and the revenue sharing that came from the Wildlife Authority, where almost none of the money being generated by the sale of gorilla permits was actually getting to the people who lived around, firstly. Secondly, there was almost no economic benefit flowing between the two. So local people were being marginalized and being disadvantaged because they weren't involved in the day-to-day purchasing of goods and services from those people by tourists, equally not by lodges and camps. So we wanted to create the businesses, create the linkages, make the market access linkages back to the ground operators and tour operators. One of our big heroes there and one of our champions is standing over there taking lots of photographs, because we need tour operators, we need ground operators. So we need to create a positive impact, we need to contribute to poverty alleviation, we need to be able to improve the livelihoods of local people, and also improve their attitude towards conservation. Particularly when these things happen around protected areas, there's a misunderstanding. People who used to use the forest as for their livelihoods now are disassociated with that particular product, and they live on the margins, and very few linkages happen between the two. So there is a need to reduce the threats to forest biodiversity in Bwindi, but equally there's an education that needs to happen between those people who used to use the forest as part of their livelihoods and now cannot because it's a national park. So what we've done, and then the demonstration of this, I'm not going to go through bullet by bullet, but the demonstration here is that with a little amount of money, and we used only about 20% of the available budget, we were able to create businesses which were owned, run, and managed by local people to sell to tourists and also to sell to lodges. For example, ex-poachers. Poachers who would poach for their livelihoods in the forest, we were able to help them understand that they don't need to go to the forest to be able to sustain their own livelihoods. So we got an agronomist in, for example, to teach them how to grow fruits and vegetables that the lodges and camps would buy. By doing the research and finding out from those lodges and camps what lodges would buy if it were available. And that has started to happen and is being produced. Equally, we found from research that the two big issues of quality and cultural authenticity were being missed not only by tourists who wanted to buy, but also in the baseline survey, by the people making these things themselves. We asked them, why are you not selling? And they said, because it's not representing our culture, imported stuff from India and China, and it's not enough quality, and we have no access to the markets. So we actually have been able to change that to a point where we're actually having really substantial impact. So we created new product for tourists to buy. We created new guiding services for new trails that tour operators can actually produce. And we helped the conservation of the Windy National Park to be able to reduce the threat to the biodiversity by enabling ex-poachers to change their livelihoods. And instead of being sustainable market gardeners, they then became growers of vegetables and fruits. But the problem is that donor funding ends. So making the linkage back to the destination and making the destination responsible for its own long-term future means that we need to create those linkages early on in order that when we do, as developers, eventually run out of money from donors, then it can continue on. However, what we have realized, and I had a talk to the guy from TUI and also from Intrepid just now, what we also need to try and do is to make the linkage between international tour operators and ground operators so that they can invest themselves in the process rather than simply stand on the side and say, oh yes, if you develop that product, we will buy it. And they've both said that if they are approached, if a tour operator is approached, an international tour operator, and asked to participate in actually investing in the process, then because of their own responsible travel and responsible tourism ethics, then if it's worthwhile for them to be able to sell, it's worthwhile for them to be able to sell on, they will consider it very carefully. So I just wanted to show you some of the examples that we've had where we've taught women how to make their own... Is that 1 minute, is it? That's done. All right. So that's it.
Adam Abari is going to make a presentation on behalf of the Gambia, and then we're going to questions from the floor. And Adam, we have to finish at 4:30 because there's a big Africa event here in this space, and it needs to be cleared from 4:30.
Hello, good afternoon to everyone. Just to tell you, we have got a whole team here, the Honorable Minister of Tourism, the Ambassador in Gambia, Blaine, Ida Nyang, who is the Destination Manager, Director of International Affairs at the Gambia Tourism Board, and Mr. Bojang, the Director of Civil Aviation. We have this team here basically because we want, if you have questions at the end of this presentation, you can ask it to any of these gentlemen and the woman, and it will be answered. What we are calling for, I'm sure you all know that Gambia, we have a new Gambia. Do you know about that? Tell me, who knows about that? All right. We have a new Gambia because we've gone through 22 years of serious dictatorship, and we have changed that regime through very peaceful means. But what we are asking the new Gambia to do is actually to try, and we have done a lot about sun tourism, is to now diversify, because we have got a lot of problem of young people on this illegal migration issue. Poverty is a serious problem. So how can we diversify tourism in such a way that it also satisfies the needs and conditions of the Gambian people? We are not like Peter, that in Uganda and in East Africa is mainly the animals they have, but we have people. And people are really the basic of why the Gambia exists. Now, if you don't know, I mean, we had our independence and we had in 65, the same year, we had an investor with 300 Scandinavian tourists. We have an old area called the tourism development area where tourism is concentrated. It's not everywhere, which we call the clusters. It's divided into various clusters. We had different policies. 1995, we had a policy. We had, in 2000, we had an intervention that was looking at improving the informal sector so that they can have market access. 2004, we had a responsible tourism policy. And 2005, we had a tourism master plan study. I am happy to report here that the initiators and the team of the tourism master plan, they are all here. And Harold Goodwin is also here. He was the one that actually initiated the responsible tourism policy of the Gambia. We are mainly winter sun mass tourism, but we have a high repeater visitor numbers. You wouldn't believe it, but 40% go back to the Gambia. And the motivator is people. They are conscious of the friendliness of the people of the Gambia, and they always want to go back. The tourism market, you wouldn't believe it again, but we have only less than 200 tourists coming to our country. 200,000. But 200,000 means 10% of our population, because we are only 2 million people in that country. We have challenges, of course, poor destination recognition, dwindling product quality, undiversified products, limited air access. So if you have any questions on that, we can ask civil aviation, less investment. We, of course, have some social issues, poverty, high unemployment, and we have a group of young people who try to get money or anything by any means possible, and we call them the bumpsters. It's a bit of a problem for the country. But we have opportunities. We have New Gambia, which means new administration and new ways of looking. We have got a new political reality, a national development plan, we are looking for new responsible investments. We are not asking everybody to come, because we are conscious of the fact that some people may be just briefcase investors. They come just to take advantage of the situation. So we are asking for responsible investors to come and invest in the Gambia. We need a new policy reform, which is called for by the National Development Plan that we have. This is what the National Development Plan talks about now. Promoting an inclusive and culture-centered tourism for sustainable growth. And government's goal is to make tourism a highly competitive and sustainable industry that is people and culture centered, that celebrates our cultural heritage and contributes to socioeconomic development. These are the things we need to do: policy reform, quality service, enhance health safety and security, enhance community participation, promotion of the Gambia biodiversity, and of course the culture, product diversity again, top high value market. The minister is very keen to have investors, but we are saying there must be high value, especially within the tourism development area. So we are not going to accept anything anymore. Mr. Minister, that's the promise?
Absolutely,
he says. What we want is a different image of that country. Think you know the Gambia? Think again. We want you not to stay around the hotels only. When I was coming on the flight, I was surprised by Gambia Experience steadfastness. They said, it is a crime not to go out of the country. We can't go that far. But we want people to go out and actually experience real Gambia and contribute to the local economy. I will stop there for the time being, because we have limited time.
Right, we've got about 12 minutes for questions here for Peter and from the Gambia. Then I would suggest, Minister, that if there are still questions, you go back to the Gambia stand and then come back to enjoy the Africa event here.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, who's got the first question? Please.
Go ahead.
The microphone's just coming to you there. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I've been going to Gambia now for more than 12 years. And I understand with the new government and et cetera. Minister, can you explain how easy it is to register a new business now? Is it a one-stop shop? The procedures, if somebody wants to invest, is the paperwork and the administration, is it easy to do? Thank you.
It is absolutely, we've changed everything. Within one day, you can get all your documents in one sum. At Gaipa, you get it all done, inshallah. Thank you.
Is there another question? The lady here.
You mentioned the problem of bumpsters and the need to move towards more responsible tourism. What is the level of prosecution involving sex tourism at the moment? Is it something that you're actively combating, or is it something that people are mainly turning a blind eye towards?
Let me just, can I stand up and answer
Please
this
do.
Question?
Please
I'm
do.
Passionate about this question. There is no sex tourism in the Gambia. There is no sex tourism in the Gambia. There is prostitution anywhere in the world. The relationship between man and a woman can exist in different forms. The attraction, a woman attraction to a man or a man attraction to a woman can happen in different forms. It exists, of course. But I can tell you that sex tourism is where sex is organized, recognized by the state, run by the organization that are recognized by the state, monitored. It does not exist in the Gambia. There is no red district in the Gambia. We are a country which is very decent, a country with people with high moral values. But of course, here and there, prostitution is one of the oldest professions in the world. People have different objectives based on means of enjoying themselves when they travel. People are free to move and go to where, but we believe our laws are there to protect our people. Nobody below the age of 18 is allowed to enter a hotel without a parent. The law is very strict about that. The one or two people who goes out doing things here and there can happen. We're not saying, but there is no sex tourism in our country. The issue of bumpsters is a social issue. It is not about, what you may think it is. This is a problem of poverty that he talks about. When the youths are not employed, they have to look for other means of survival, and therefore some of them choose to follow tourists. Government have put in measures to stop that. We are not prosecuting them, but we are convincing them not to do it. And last year we had very little complaints about bumping. And I can tell you this year will be another one, because we are engaging them, discussing with them, educating them, telling them what to do and what they are doing, how it can harm tourism. And they know they depend on tourism and they are cooperating with us. It is no longer a major issue in the system. I can tell you that. Thank you.
Is there another question? Please, the gentleman over here.
Good evening. This is a question for Peter and Uganda. Peter, how easy or difficult would it be to roll out a similar project or initiative to the one that you explained earlier on to either different parts of Africa or different parts of Uganda?
The lessons that we've learned and the structure that we've put together has been a continuous process. And I believe that with contextual adaptations, that the essence of balancing and harmonizing social, economic, and environmental measures in a responsible framework can actually be replicated and rolled out almost anywhere that it is needed, where those things exist. So in areas of high tourism economic activity, where local people are disadvantaged by not having a link to that particular activity, and especially where it happens in and around a protected area such as a national park, then it has high replicable ability. Yes.
Is there another question? Please, the gentleman here.
Yes, my question is actually to Peter as well. with all the ministers sitting there right there are trying to figure out what precisely will you be able to say in relates to the ECOWAS, which is the, you know, in Africa now, they have this sort of the ECOWAS. Yeah, so
West Africa Economic Organization.
Right. So I'm trying to ask Peter if you have actually gone through all that in relates to all infrastructures, okay, all infrastructures that actually in this ECOWAS organization now, and how they are actually going to be of benefits, most importantly when it comes to the security aspects of life.
Yeah, I mean, Peter is working from a different place. He's working in East Africa, and West Africa is Gambia. So I don't know what your question is, really.
Oh, sorry about that. I thought Peter is also...
No. Peter was talking about an experience in Uganda.
Okay.
Which is in East Africa.
Oh, okay.
But Adam, having said that,
yeah,
the reality is that what was applied in around Windy began in the Gambia in 1999.
Yeah.
So we know that it works in the Gambia.
Oh, it does.
It just hasn't been done in recent years.
It does. We have not just especially monitoring progress and trying to do it again by actually getting more people involved in tourism, especially the informal sector and other sectors. But we have done it.
Okay. Well,
yes, I just want to say something which is very important. Tourism as a very important vehicle of an engine of growth, rather, a machine that can drive growth by way of job creation. In the Gambia, we've gone beyond that now. We're now linking tourism to fisheries, tourism to agriculture, tourism to arts and culture, tourism even to livestock production. Indeed, because if you realize, what we've realized in the Gambia, most of the product that tourists use are imported from outside. And now we are putting a stop to that. We have value chain added to it. And tourism now filters down to the woman in the village who is gardening, who is having a garden there, or the man in the village who is running a small farm there, so that we cut the barriers between the farmer, the suppliers, and to the hotels. And as a government, we have a program that will reflect that tourism henceforward will now benefit not only those in the urban area, but also those in the rural area on our program of value chain. And of course, packaging become another important aspect for us, which also the Ministry of Trade is doing something to support our women and other stakeholders to have their products well processed, well packaged for, of course, onward sales to the hotels for consumption, which is working very well. Therefore, it has become a tool of course, poverty reduction, which is indeed something that we can only thank the EU for coming in to support the Gambia in a 11 million euro project, which is making a difference in the life of Gambians.
We have time for one last question. Please, over here.
Marina Novelli, you know who I am, but just a question to reiterate and voice for the great change that are happening in the Gambia. You've talked about responsible investment and you're open for responsible investment. Now, the question I've got is a reverse one. Obviously, you're moving forward responsible practice in business. You have said you've linked your sector to a number of other sectors. What is your government now doing to address the responsible investment, which have actually been done in the past, which are in a way interfering with a lot of responsible tourism activities that you have already started in your country?
We have a government governed by rule of law. We have a very open and transparent system today. You go to the website, you see what you have to do, no bribery, no corruption, you get it done, you get what you want to get. And that's the best policy. We have one of the most open policies today in Africa, and we are proud of that. And indeed, it is paying a lot of dividends. As I speak to you today, we have already evaluated more than 10 hotels of 4 or 5 stars we will commence work on in the next 18 months to come. And I'm sure the problem of capacity that we have now will be resolved in the next 24 months.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm sorry that I need to draw this to a close. Could I ask you to thank the panel in the usual way? It will need to be very short.
Yes, my ambassador. Yes.
Please, Ambassador. High Commissioner.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say very briefly that under the effective, he hasn't admitted it due to modesty, but under the effective, dynamic, and progressive leadership of the current Minister of Tourism in the Gambia, tourism is today the highest source of foreign exchange in the Gambia. And I want you to give him a round of applause.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.